Hey, well, a really warm welcome this morning. My name's Sam. I'm the pastor of the Southeast Campus, and it really is my privilege to be able to share the word today. I want to welcome you, especially if you're joining us for the first time online. Really warm welcome to you, wherever you're from in the world. You know, one of the cool things I think about church online is that you can actually chat. You can talk while you sit in church and you still listen to the message. And so make sure you make good use of that chat function, share encouraging thoughts that you're having, what God might be speaking to you, even through the message right now. So you can continue to talk while you listen at the same time in the chat function. Hey, well, I just want to take a moment to honor the leadership. I really believe in honoring those that lead us. And I just really want to take a moment, honor Pastor Dale, Pastor Scott, for the way that they're leading us in this season. I'm calling this a season because it's a period of time that's come. I believe it's a period of time that's going to go, this COVID season. And they're leading us so well. And in so many churches, they've gone into survival mode, just focusing on surviving. Well, we're not just focusing on surviving, but still ensuring that the vision continues to be fulfilled, that the mission moves forward. That's the sort of leaders that we have here in Pastor Dale and Pastor Scott. And so I just want to take a moment and honor you. Thank you for leading us so well here at Crossway. We're blessed for what we are a part of. I hope you know that. And I count it an absolute privilege to be on staff and to be a campus pastor within the church. So thank you. And church, can I encourage you, be praying for them. Continue to send through messages of encouragement. Jump online. I'm sure there's somewhere that you can make a comment. Send through a comment to them if you've got their contact details. Let's be encouraging them and building up the team. Also, just want to honor the team who are making sure this service happens so well. This is live. We're live right now. It's 10:51 Sunday morning. We're live and they're doing everything they can to make sure that this service happens live with absolute excellence so that you can experience God's presence in your home. So well done, team. It's a privilege to serve with you. Hey, well, I'm excited to share the word with you today. I've got a message entitled, Don't Waste the Wait. Don't Waste the Wait. And we're going to look at a passage in Joshua chapter 4. You might want to turn there if you like, but I've got it on the screen for you today as well. And what happens in Joshua chapter 4, they come to a season of waiting to enter into the promised land, the Israelites. And in Joshua chapter 3, they come to the Jordan River, which is the barrier between them and the promised land. And it says in Joshua 3 that the river is swamped, its banks have been burst, it's harvest season, so it's the highest the river will ever be. And they come to this river and God says, go through the river. And it's a bit of a Red Sea experience where they start to walk into the river and God stops the flow of the river upstream. But the river continues to flow downstream and exposes the bare riverbed for them to cross over on dry land. And so this is where they are. And they're about to cross into the promised land. And we pick up this story in Joshua chapter 4. When all the people had crossed the Jordan, the Lord said to Joshua, now choose 12 men, one from each tribe. Tell them, take 12 stones from the very place where the priests are standing in the middle of the Jordan. Carry them out and pile them up at the place where you will camp tonight. So Joshua called together the 12 men he had chosen, one from each of the tribes of Israel. He told them, go into the middle of the Jordan in front of the ark of the Lord your God. Each of you must pick up one stone and carry it out on your shoulder, 12 stones in all, one for each of the 12 tribes of Israel. We will use these stones to build a memorial. In the future, your children will ask you, what do these stones mean? Then you can tell them, they remind us that the Jordan River stopped flowing when the Ark of the Lord's Covenant went across. These stones will stand as a memorial among the people of Israel forever. Don't waste the wait. I don't know about you, but you might be a little bit like me and you don't like to wait. I'm not someone who is fond of waiting. You could call me an impatient person. That would probably be a little bit accurate. I just like to use my time, and particularly when it comes to things of vision. I like to see the vision outworked quickly. I like to see progress. And so you can maybe find me getting a little bit impatient at times, and God's shaping that. God's at work in that. But I hate waiting. I hate waiting in queues. I remember we were coming home to Melbourne last year. We'd been in Auckland, New Zealand, where I was previously living. And we'd visited my parents, and we got to Auckland Airport to return home. We dropped our bags off and checked in, and we had a feed with my parents before we said goodbye, farewell them, to go through to security and customs. And so we come to the security area, we say our farewell, we go through to the security area, and there's this queue like I've never seen a queue before. We've got about an hour and 15 minutes, and there's this incredibly huge queue. Now, with children, you can't use the e-pass in your passport. And so you've got to wait in the queue to see the customs officer behind the desk. There's no quick route when you've got children. And so we're waiting. We get to the customs officer at the desk. And I hate waiting, and I hate it waiting even more when I've got my three kids in tow. And so I check in. So we give them our passports. They process our passports. And then we go and we stand in the security queue to wait to put our bags on the conveyor. We're waiting, moving slowly, being directed. And so we get to the conveyor, we put our bags on, we pull out our electronic devices and empty our pockets. And then we put, you know, them onto the conveyor. They start to go through the scanner. Then the kids, they go through the scanner, the human scanner, not the bag scanner. And so they walk through one by one, and then Steph and myself, and we're through, we're good. And we're waiting. Now my wife, she's very careful, and as am I, about what we put in our bags to make sure that there's nothing sinister in there, that we won't get held up at the bag scan. So bag one comes through, two, three, four. The last bag to come through, my daughter's bag. She's 2 years old at the time, and she's got this beautiful Dora the Explorer bright pink themed bag. And bag five, her bag is coming through, and we're like, great, we're going to be good to go. And right before it hits the rollers to come down to us, this arm extends and just sweeps it across towards the custom officer. Clearly there's something in there that needs to be checked out. And I'm like, we're going to wait again. We're going to keep waiting. By now, it's only about 40 minutes and our plane is starting to board. Our plane leaves in 40 minutes. We're waiting. So we go and join the queue. There's about 7 to 10 people there waiting to have their bags checked out. I can see the bright pink Dora the Explorer bag. You know, about 7 bags back. And these customs officers doing their job very well, being very thorough and checking out the bags. And so I'm waiting. It's about 30 minutes into the wait. My kids are there. And I don't know about your kids, if you've got children, but mine are very quick to exaggerate the feelings of us as their parents. And so I turn to my wife and I say, Steph, babe, I think we're getting a little bit tight for time. Things are just getting a little bit tight. I'm saying it quietly. My eldest, he's so quick to pick up on these feelings. And Dad, we're going to miss the plane. Are we going to miss the plane, Dad? Dad, we don't want to miss the plane. We can't miss the plane, Dad. And I'm like, son, it's okay. We're going to be fine. Inside, I'm going, we're going to miss the plane. We're going to miss the plane. But we're waiting. I say to Steph, hey, maybe you should just go to the gate. It's a 15-minute walk. And so she takes the kids, and I'm standing there waiting. By now, it's about 20 minutes and 10 minutes. Finally, this customs officer picks up this pink Dora the Explorer bag. He holds it up. Which traveler owns this? You know, I sheepishly put my hand up to claim this pink Dora the Explorer bag. I walk forward and he's looking at me sideways. This is your bag, sir? I said, this is my bag. I said, my wife is taking our three kids to the gate because our plane is boarded and about to leave and I'm waiting for my bag. And he's like, and he kind of starts to berate me because I should have kept my family with me. I took it, and as he checks this bag out, I'm still waiting. I hate to wait. And all he finds in there is an empty baby's bottle. I couldn't believe it was an empty baby's bottle. There was nothing sinister. I hate to wait, but I hate to wait when there is nothing good to wait for. I grab this bag, and I hightail it through the airport to get to that gate. I was the last one on the plane, but we made it. But I hate to wait. I don't know about you, how you feel about waiting. Waiting isn't something that we enjoy. My kids are learning what it is to wait. Internet usage has increased, and it's taking some time to buffer during the middle of a movie. And so, it's paused again. It's glitching, Dad. And they'll learn what it is to wait to watch the internet. Maybe your kids are a bit like that. I don't think I've ever heard my wife say so much, just wait, darling, to our three-year-old. Just wait. Just wait. Please stop. And there's this waiting. We hate to wait. And we hate to wait for all sorts of things, don't we? We hate to wait for queues. We'll avoid a peak period at a fast food restaurant or something like that so we don't have to wait in the queue. We hate to wait. We hate to wait at red lights. We'll rush the orange light so we don't have to sit and wait at a red light. We hate traffic, sitting in traffic. We don't like wasting time in traffic. Unfortunately, that's a reality in many ways in our lives, but we hate to wait in traffic. We've got a train crossing at Clyde Road and Berwick. Man, you get stuck at that crossing. You can be there for 7 to 10 minutes. It's real. We hate to wait. Parents, sometimes we find ourselves hating to wait for the kids to grow up. If ever can't wait, I can't wait for the season to be over. Can't wait for the kids to get up. We love our kids in every season, but there are seasons we can't wait to maybe be over. Can't wait for an online shopping purchase. And you'll have your own things that you hate to wait for. We hate to wait. And this is hard. This is hard. And I started to think, why do we hate to wait? And this professor Carol Brewis, She summed it up as a communications expert. She said, waiting too long in a line is often perceived as a violation of our right to manage and control our time. And I think she's nailing it that when we have to wait, we feel out of control. You ever experienced that? You're not in control when you're sitting in traffic. You're not in control when you're in a queue. She goes on and she says this. The notion that we should be able to meet our needs without waiting too long, coupled with the reality that many of us get a bit irritated, not just a bit irritated, sometimes a lot irritated. You know, your fists are clenched, your heart's starting to pump, you're starting to get a little bit warm. Maybe you burst a little blood vessel when you get a bit irritated or a lot irritated or anxious. Then anxiety, your palms start to sweat. Anxiety because you're not in control. When we have to wait too long for something we think we need or want, that this feeling is so deeply and culturally ingrained in us that we've come to believe it's natural. It's like it's a God-given right that we should not have to wait any longer than we think we should. We hate to wait. And this is a real challenge for us when we find ourselves right now in this season of waiting. We're in a season of waiting. We're 6 weeks deep into this COVID-19 season. For so many of us, the feelings that we had at the start, maybe of fear, anxiety, uncertainty, very real responses to this COVID-19 season. As we're 6 weeks deep into this, a lot of people have started to process their fears, process their anxieties. And we find ourselves waiting, just waiting for all sorts of things, waiting for COVID cases to decrease, waiting for restrictions to lift, to go back to the office, some of you, for a vaccine so we can sort of be free again, for borders in the country to reopen, for shops to reopen, for kids to go back to school, for sports shows and concerts to start again. I wonder what you're waiting for the price of groceries to decrease. In so many ways, we're waiting for life to return to normal. Now, we don't know what normal looks like on the other side of this season. There might be a sort of a new sense of normal, but there will be a sense of normality again. We're waiting for life to return to normal. And maybe while you're waiting, while you're waiting for life to return to normal, maybe you're a bit like me and you find yourself bored. Have you done that? There's a lot of things I can't enjoy right now. I can't go to the gym. I can't go fishing. A lot of the things that I enjoy doing, I can't go and see friends. And so I'm finding myself bored. Maybe you're a bit like that. There was a survey done in the last 2 weeks, I found it on abc.net and interviewed 2,297 respondents. And it was measuring certain characteristics pre-COVID-19 and then 5-6 weeks into COVID-19. And so it was measuring the increase in fear or the effect on depression and anxiety. And of course, fear spiked and anxiety spiked. But you know what the big spike was out of all of them? Was boredom. Boredom was 4% of the respondents said they were bored before this season. And now that we're 6 weeks deep, 26%, that's a 550% increase of the respondents saying that they are bored, that they find themselves bored. And maybe that's why alcohol sales increased 86% the week bars and pubs shut down. Maybe why grocery sales are up 34%. People plan to drink and eat their way through the boredom, or maybe to make toilet paper sculptures with all that toilet paper they purchased. I don't know. Internet usage is up 70%. Video streaming is up 12%. I think that's hugely underrated. And if we're not careful on the other side of this season, we will waste the wait. We hate to wait, but friends, we don't want to waste the wait. We don't want to waste the wait. This passage that we're looking at in Joshua chapter 4, it's the culmination of 40 years of waiting to enter the promised land. 40 years of wandering. They'd been to this place before. They'd come to the promised land. God had led them there. And God had commanded Moses to send 12 spies out into the promised land, Canaan, the land that he had for them, to go out and scope out the land. So Moses sent out 12 spies, one man from each tribe of Israel, to go and see, is the land fertile? Is it inhabitable? What are the inhabitants of the land like? And so these 12 spies, they go out into the land. And for 40 days, they're out in the checking out this land that God's prepared for them. They come back after 40 days and they say, it's unanimous. They say to the nation of Israel, the land is fertile. The land is good. The land, it's a land flowing with milk and honey. I mean, it's just like New Zealand and Australia. New Zealand and Australia are in the same part of the world. It's a fertile land. It's flowing with milk and honey. That's where they're unanimous. But then they diverge in their opinions. And 10 of the spies say, but the people in the land are too large. They're giants. And we seemed like grasshoppers in their eyes and our own eyes. There's no way we can take the land. Only 2 spies brought back a good report. We can take it. We can take the land. God will fight on our behalf and he will give us the victory. Well, the nation of Israel, they side with the 10 spies. And as a result of their lack of belief, their lack of faith, their disobedience, the consequence is that they will wander in the wilderness for 40 years. Not one person over the age of 20 years old will enter, at that point in time, will enter into the promised land. And so 40 years they go, wait, here they are at the River Jordan to cross into the promised land, this land that God's prepared to them. Its banks are burst. It's in flood. They step into the river and God stops the flow of the river. And God commands Joshua to tell 12 men to pick up 12 stones. And so the people crossed the Jordan River, verse 19, at the end of Joshua chapter 4, on the 10th day of the first month. Then they camped at Gilgal, just east of Jericho. It was there at Gilgal that Joshua piled up the 12 stones. It was at Gilgal that Joshua built the memorial that from the stones taken from the Jordan River. Then Joshua said to the Israelites, in the future, your children will ask you, what do these stones mean? You can tell them, this is where the Israelites crossed the Jordan on dry ground. For the Lord your God dried up the river right before your eyes and kept it dry until you were all across, just as he did it at the Red Sea when he dried it up until we had all crossed over. He did this so all the nations of the earth might know that the Lord's hand is powerful. God has an almighty, powerful hand. And so you might fear the Lord your God forever. And this sort of fear is talking about having a wholehearted trust in God, that you would trust him and the generations would trust him. And so God commands Joshua to pick up these 12 stones, maybe stones a little bit like this, a whole lot larger than this, and to pick up these 12 stones and to build a memorial that would serve as a reminder of what God had done. That would show that whenever the children ask, it would remind them of 3 things in particular. It would ensure that Israel remembers basic history, the story of this season where they'd waited for 40 years and they came to the Jordan River and God stopped the flow of the Jordan River. It would cause them to remember basic history. It would remind them of their identity in God, that they are his people, called by his name, and that God is their sovereign God. He did not fail them. But it would also reaffirm the lifestyle, the type of conduct that God calls them to. As I was thinking about this and I was reflecting on the passage, God started to speak to me. Just like the Israelites were commanded to build this memorial that would cause them to remember, it made me ask the question, what are the things that we'll take from this season that will act as a memorial in our lives? On the other side of the waiting, and hear me, we're quick to forget. We forget very quickly. But when there's that sense of normality again, we're on the other side of the waiting. What are the things, the good things that we're going to take out of this season that will act as a memorial? Maybe not something physical, maybe something physical. Maybe you're an artist, you want to paint. Maybe you're a builder, you want to build something. I don't know. But it doesn't have to be something physical, but there are things that we can take out of the season that will act as a memorial, that'll be a marker in our lives, that'll cause us to remember basic history, this time in our lives where we're confined to our homes, cause us to remember our identity in God, that we're children of God, and that he is our God and what he did for us in and through this season. And it'll cause us to be reminded of the kind of lifestyle that God calls us to. What are the things that we're going to take from the season that will act as a memorial? You know, we can look at the Israelites and we can think that they wasted their 40 years in the wilderness. Easy to make that mistake. You know, we look on and we see that they complained a whole lot of the time in the wilderness as they're wandering in the desert. God, we haven't got anything to eat. God, we haven't got anything to drink. All of a sudden, what God was teaching them when they had lack, that he was their provider. And he sent manna from heaven. He sent quail. He caused water to gush out of a rock that their needs would be provided for. He led them by a pillar of fire at night and a pillar of cloud in the day, teaching them that he is their guide, He was instilling in them what it is to trust him. What was he doing? He was shaping their identity. He was building their identity and building their character. And what I really sensed in this is that God was building something in them, and he wants to build something in you, that God is building something in you. In this season, whether you're aware of it or not, God is building something in you. I wonder if you're aware. So many of you might say right now, well, Sam, this is a season of suffering. I'm just facing so many problems. This waiting has caused my business to dry up. It's called, you know, I've lost my job. And there's a whole lot of stuff that's going on with the season that is a struggle right now. I get that. But you know what I love? I love the Apostle Paul's perspective on problems and trials and the sufferings that he faced. He wrote this to the church in Rome, the Apostle Paul, and this guy faced more problems, more trials, more waiting than most people in the New Testament. He was shipwrecked and had to wait to be rescued, and he had to wait for God to move on his behalf and all these kinds of things. And this is what the Apostle Paul said, Romans chapter 5. We can rejoice in the problems. We can rejoice in the trials. I wonder if that's your perspective right now. What do you perceive? Pastor Dale's question last week. For we know that they help us to develop endurance. God's doing something. He's developing endurance in you. And endurance develops strength of character, and character strengthens our confident hope of salvation. Maybe at this time, God is doing something and he's instilling in you endurance. Maybe he's developing your character. He's building something in you in this season, whether you're aware of it or whether you're not. I believe he's at work in your life. God's always at work. I believe he's building something in you. And this hope will not lead to disappointment. This hope will not lead to disappointment. And so I wonder what God's building in your life right now. And I think about this and all the different ways, maybe a little bit like the Israelites in the desert wandering. He's instilling in you what it is to trust him, teaching you what it is to lean the weight of your life on him. Or when you have lack, that he's your provider, and maybe you've never needed to lean on God as your provider, and that right now that's what he's teaching you. Or maybe, you know, that he wants you to know him as protector or your comforter right now because you find yourself lonely, and he's developing you and he's building in you this sense of identity in him as a child of God. You know, families are confined to the home right now, and I understand the tensions that come with that. As parents, you're homeschooling, and parents are working from home at the same time, and there's this whole new family dynamic. And I'm aware of many marriages that are actually struggling at this time. And I wonder, what's God doing in your life? What's he trying to teach you? What's he trying to build in you? Perhaps what it is to have a spirit of self-sacrificial love, to love like Christ loved. Or maybe what it is to have a spirit that overflows with grace and mercy to those who are really close to you in your homes right now. Maybe for those of you who have businesses, teaching you to lean into him and just really seeing what God and where he's leading you and he's guiding you in business right now. Or maybe you're good in a bunch of these areas, but God wants to do something new in your life, in the sense that he wants to find a new way for you to be able to relate to him, a new spiritual discipline. Maybe prayer walking, maybe getting up and praying, jumping on board with Unite 714 and praying at 714 in the morning and at night. And that will be a marker, a memorial that you take out of the season into the future, that you will continue to get up and pray at 714 a.m. and 714 p.m. Be a time of communion with God. Worshiping, maybe prayer walking, something I've started to do again because I've got a bit more time, can't get to the gym and those kinds of things. I started prayer walking and I went for a wonderful prayer walk for just an hour Thursday afternoon. Committing this word to the Lord and just encountering his presence in this fresh way while I walked around the Berwick Springs. What's God wanting to do in your life? What's he building in you that you're going to take out of the season that will act as a memorial that will cause you to remember what God did in your life at this time? You know, we're going to be intentional about allowing God to build something in our lives if we want to maximize it. And we've got to watch our attention, because if we're not careful, what we'll find is that we'll wander while we wait. We'll wander while we wait. You know, Moses went up Mount Sinai to get the Ten Commandments. He was up there for 40 days, and it hadn't even been 40 days. Moses hadn't yet come down, and the people's attention wandered from God. Their focus went off of God and went onto themselves. And they went and they made a statue, a golden calf, and they started to worship the golden calf while Moses is up the mountain and they're waiting for him to come down. Their focus wandered. We've got to watch for the wander. Don't wander. while you wait. And if we're not careful in this season, we'll waste it. We'll waste the wait. We'll fill the wait with Netflix. We'll fill it with food and drink. And if you're not careful, you might emerge from this as the monument, as the memorial. And that's not what we want it to be. We want to take good things out of this season that'll cause us to remember what God has for us and to remind us what he has done for us. What is God building in you? And I know that he's not just building in you, but I honestly believe this, that God is building something for you. He has something beautiful for you in this season. On the other side of the wait, on the other side of 40 years of waiting, God had for the Israelites the promised land. Crossed the Jordan River, and it was a land flowing with milk and honey that they would be able to enjoy. That would be a blessing to them. It wasn't all going to come easy. There were some battles that were going to have to be overcome, people groups that were going to have to be driven out, but they were going to have to, but there was something to enjoy. I believe God's got something for you to enjoy in this season. And what I know about our God is that he's a good God. He's got good gifts for his children. Do you believe that? And Matthew, he records this, the words of Jesus. And it's funny because Jesus is addressing parents. And parents, you know, you'd be able to relate to this. If your children ask you for a loaf of bread, do you give them a stone? No. No, we don't give them a stone. Or if they ask for a fish, do you give them a snake? I will never give my children a snake. Of course not. But Jesus says, if we who are sinful know how to give good gifts to our children, well, how much more will our Heavenly Father give good gifts to those who ask him? I wonder if you're asking God for something good in the season, for him to bring a gift to you. Because I believe he's got something good for you. And I think he's got things that he's put inside of you that are going to be for you to enjoy. That you'll enjoy now, but on the other side of the wait, that you'll continue to enjoy. That will bless you and that will be a blessing to others. And of course, we've got time right now. We've had to put some things down that we can't enjoy, but that gives us the ability to try our hand at some new things. And I do honestly believe that he's put something in your life, maybe a natural ability that you've never tapped into. Good example of this last week, and this was a real blessing to me. My mother-in-law, Lisa, she started to paint. She did some watercolor painting and she posted it up on Facebook. I can't tell you how blessed I was by it, not just by the art itself, but by seeing someone who's 60 years old trying their hand at something new. And not just trying, but actually succeeding. Look, she's now a published artist. Here you go. If you're watching, Lisa, I love you. And she painted this watercolor painting. I was blessed by that. Isn't that beautiful? It was one of the first ones she's ever done. And I was just blessed by it. She loves birds and it's kind of got a family feel about it, but it's kind of quirky and it's really her. And I just love the brightness. I love what God's doing and what he's bringing out of people's lives. He's building something for people to enjoy if we look for it. For me, I can't enjoy the gym right now. I can't enjoy fishing, a bunch of the things I've already mentioned. And I have never before experienced a desire to bake. And I have, in the last 2 weeks, or even just this last week, I baked two white loaves of bread and a sourdough. And I'm learning what it is to make my hand to something, to put my hand to something new. And I'm really enjoying it. It's a blessing to me. It's a blessing to my kids because that loaf is gone by the end of the day. They're loving this fresh bread. And I'm learning some techniques about, you know, it's not just simple, mix the ingredients and whack it in the oven. There's one key principle with bread. And it's this, that you can't rush the wait. Just like Moses, and you can't wander in the wait. You can't rush the wait either. You've got to wait for the yeast in the white loaf to react with the wheat to cause the loaf to rise. You can't rush that with the sourdough. You mix it all together and you wait for the starter, the sour component to cause air bubbles to cause the dough to rise. It can take 4 or 5 hours. And then you fold it and you do some other folding technique and you reshape it. You let it proof again. It's called proofing. And you wait before you put it in the oven. The hardest part of the wait that you don't want to rush is when you've taken it out of the oven and the house smells beautiful with freshly baked bread and you can't cut it open. You can't eat it yet because there's the stage where you've got to wait for the crumb to form. You can't rush the wait. So there's all these good things that I think God's got for people to enjoy. God put this in my spirit. They're business owners. He wants, as you re-strategize, as you focus your attention on your businesses right now, that there are going to be innovations that come out of this season. You're quiet right now. It looks like business is dried up like right now. But there are going to be innovations that come out of your business in this season. And on the other side of the wait, your business will be reshaped. It will be reframed. And that God is going to bless your business in ways that you cannot expect, in ways that you cannot imagine. And that as you give focus and you give attention, that there are going to be good things, good gifts come out of the season. God wants to build something for you in this season. Families, parents, as you've got all this new time at home, you don't have to travel and spend time in cars. What are the family rhythms that you're creating now? Maybe being home for dinner every night to enjoy with your family. That on the other side of the wait, that's going to be something that continues. That's going to be a marker. When did we start eating dinner together? This time when we were confined to our homes. And your life is going to be reprioritized, not necessarily around work, but around family. What's God building for you right now that on the other side of the wait will be like the memorial, will be like the 12 stones, but will be a marker that will cause you to remember what God did in your life in this season. God's building something in you. He's building something for you. And finally, God's building, He wants to build something through you. It's not just all about you. It's not just all about you receiving. It's about God using you as well. The nation of Israel, they were called out of Egypt. They were slaves. They were oppressed. And God called them out and He created in them. He built them into a nation. This nation would affect the whole world because through the generations of the nation of Israel would come one who would change everything for all of time. Jesus came through the descendants of the nation of Israel, the Son of God, bringing God's kingdom, bringing God's reign, bringing His rule here on earth. A kingdom that we're invited not just to spectate, not just to watch and look on and go, wow, look what God's doing. Look at the church He started. Look at what the church is doing. Not just to spectate, but to participate in His work, to participate in His kingdom. We talk about it here at Crossway. We say that the mission of God is in the hands of ordinary people. And God has placed His mission in your hands and in my hands. We get to play a part in seeing the mission continue to move forward and reaching people. That's why we coined the phrase around here. We're disciples that multiply. Because what God starts in us shouldn't finish with us. It's to be multiplied into other people's lives. Maybe you're listening right now, and maybe you've never made that decision to accept Jesus, to accept His invitation as part of His kingdom. Maybe you've been spectating. Maybe you've been watching. And right now you even just sense that the Holy Spirit is quickening your heart and He's drawing you to Himself. You sense that right now. I want to give you an opportunity at the end of this message. So just in a few moments to accept that invitation. Because in this season right now, there is purpose and there is meaning. God wants to be at work through you if you would allow Him right now. The Apostle Paul, he wrote this, for we're God's handiwork and you're created in Christ Jesus. But we're created for a purpose, to do good works. To do good works that He has created in advance, that He has prepared in advance for us to do. He's got purpose, He's got meaning, He's got things that He wants to do through you in this season. Never before, I think, has there been an opportunity where it's been so easy to reach out and build relationships with our neighborhoods and in our communities. We took that Hi Neighbor, Happy to Help card. You can find it on the website. We distributed that as a family to 250 homes in our neighborhood. And we've created a neighborhood network and a Facebook page and all these connections that were never there before. Can I tell you how warm the response was? I don't think people have ever been so open to a new relationship and reciprocal of actually wanting to help and step into the gap and help other neighbors. And we still get text messages. And this was 4 weeks ago that we did this. Hey, we're happy to help. Thanks so much for your note. That was so kind of you. People have never been so open before. What's God wanting to build through you? Maybe it's a relationship with someone that you might, in the near future, have such a positive effect on their life. They'd see Christ in you, that you would lead them, and you would lead them to Christ. That would affect their family for generations to come. As they find their names written in the book of life for generations of a family. Many of you, and I've been so blessed through hearing at the Southeast Campus of all of you, and Southeast Campus, I just want you to know how much I love you, that the hampers that you've been requesting to go and take into people's lives to where they are in need and to step into that gap, and that's just been such a blessing. And also your generosity as you've just dropped off goods. And I believe God's doing something and building in us a spirit of generosity. He's building that in people. That's evidenced in what people gave to India, what people are giving to the food pantry, but also what he's doing through us and those two gifts that we're given, these substantial gifts to see local ministry really move forward. What's God building through you? Parents, we've always said here at Crossway that we partner with parents. You're the primary disciplers of your children. Well, that's never been truer right now. But I wonder what you're building in terms of faith into your kids in this season as you're at home with them. The way they see you stand and passionately worship and you model what it is to worship Jesus. What it is to engage in the message, and maybe you're taking notes right now, maybe you're discussing it together. And after the service, you jump onto the Crossway Kids YouTube and you do the little session that they've planned together and you build your kids' faith, and God wants to multiply your faith into your children. So he's building something through you right now. I believe God wants to be at work building something in you, that he's building something for you, and he's building something through you in this season if we would allow him. That when we get to the end of the season, that what we'll find is that our lives, we echo this verse in Habakkuk 1 verse 5. Look at the nations and watch and be utterly amazed. For God did something, for I'm going to do something, but for God did something in these days that we wouldn't have believed. That the church moved forward, that the kingdom was expanded, that God built things in us, for us, and through us that we wouldn't have even believed it if we were told. And so what are the things that you're going to take from this season? What are the stones? What are the rocks? What's the memorial going to be for the years to come? What's God building in you? What's God building for you? What's he building through you? That when your children, when your grandchildren come and they say, Grandpa, why do you get up and you pray at 7:14? Grandma, when did you start painting? Why did you start baking bread? When did that friend Max come into your life, Grandpa? That we'd pause, we'd remember the season in our lives, we'd remember how we hated the wait, but we didn't waste the wait. We maximized it because God built something in me. God built something for me, and God built something through me, and our testimony would remain there. Our God, he's been so good to me. Can I pray for you? Father, we thank you this morning for your spirit that's speaking to people in their homes right now. We thank you, Lord, that, Lord, even though we're separated, we can be united through the cameras and the screens and united through our spirit worshiping you and connecting with you right now. Lord, I pray in the season of waiting. I know people are hurting. I know people hating the wait, waiting for life to return to normal. But Lord, there's beauty in the wait right now if we would look for it. And so, Lord, we open our lives to you afresh right now. We ask for you to build something in us. Lord God, steal something inside of us that'll be a marker for the future, that'll change us, change the way we relate to you, change the way that we trust you. Do that, we pray, Lord. Build something for us to enjoy, that we'd find the gifts that you've got for us in this season. Lord, things for us to enjoy, things that'll bless us, things that'll bless others, Lord God. I just speak favor over businesses again right now and fresh innovation in Jesus' name. And then, Lord, you'd build something through us. Your spirit would be at work through us, building something, building relationships, building faith in our kids, building something that'll honor you, that in the years to come, Father, we would remember. We'd remember who you are, would remember the season in our life, would remember what you did and how you provided and cared for and looked after us, Lord God. Father, I pray your blessing upon families, Lord. Build faith in them, I pray. And Lord, for those people who just had that sense, they're watching right now, they're connected in, and you had that sense that you are spectating, that you're not participating in God's kingdom. I'm speaking to you right now. Maybe you've never made that decision to accept the invitation of Jesus, and that you don't want to waste the wait, but you don't want to waste your life. And you'd say, Sam, my life just doesn't have meaning. My life doesn't have purpose. And friend, Jesus came that he would give you an abundant life, a life full of meaning, a life full of purpose. And there's an open invitation to you right now. All you've got to do is hand over the lordship of your life to Jesus. Invite him in and he'll transform you into a new person. And you can do that through just praying a simple prayer. And I'd just love to lead you in that prayer right now. And so you can just pray this in your heart. You can pray it out loud. I want to encourage you to pray it out loud. Most important thing that you can do, though, is tell someone after the service, maybe on the chat room, or go to Next Steps on the website. There'll be a link being pasted in the chat room. Go to Next Steps. Let us know so we can help you in the start. And so just pray this prayer with me. Jesus, thank you for coming to earth. Thank you for the open invitation to your kingdom. I believe that you died on a cross, and 3 days later, you defeated death as you rose again, and defeating the power of sin. And Lord, I am a sinner in need of a Savior. And Jesus, I invite you in to become Lord of my life. Lord, help me live for you. Build something of value in me. Build a life that'll be a blessing for me. But also, Lord, build something through me that will bless others. I pray, I submit my life to you right now. In Jesus' name, amen. All of heaven's cheering you on as you prayed that prayer right now. And so is everyone who's a part of Crossway as well. Church, we love you. Thank you for joining us today. Why don't you jump to your feet right now and let's continue to worship God. Bless you, Crossway.